Peering around the corner, I saw another corridor, empty like the one I was just leaving. The peace didn't last. After a few minutes, I was halfway down the next corridor when a door slid open along the right-hand side and a legionary stepped out. Acting with greater alacrity than his dead brothers festering in the pit, he opened up a comm channel and sounded an alarm.
"Vulcan lives!"
He sounded afraid, and the irony of that fact gave me a cruel satisfaction as I ran at him. I took a glancing hit from a hurried snapshot before I smashed the flat of my palm against his chest. It was a heart strike, which, if delivered with enough force, can kill instantly. His primary organ collapsed, so too the secondary backup. The legionary crumpled, and I left him for dead, racing into the chamber from where he'd come as the sirens started screaming. Again I was confronted with more bare metal. No weapons, no supplies, nothing. It was Spartan to the point of being deserted. Except I heard them coming for me above the wailing alarms. Some were shouting in that ugly, guttural language of their home world. Others hurried in silence, the drum of their booted feet betraying their urgency and panic. I crossed the room, rushing through the only other exit, and found another corridor. It was shorter than the previous one, but just as barren, yet I had begun to feel a familiarity for this place. Around the next junction, I almost charged into a pair of guards who were coming the other way. I killed them both swiftly, lethal damage inflicted in less time than it took for me to blink. I stole one of their chain blades. It was the only weapon I could take and use effectively, wondering how I would escape, trying to formulate some kind of plan. I needed to find somewhere to stop and think, adapt to the changing situation. I went up. The ceiling duct was tight against my body, and I had to discard the weapon I'd only just procured. But by replacing the overhead grate, I could temporarily mask my point of egress. It stank in the vent, of blood, of sweat, and I wondered where exactly it was ferrying air from and to. Crawling on my belly, using my elbows and toes for propulsion, I reached another grate that looked down onto a room below. Banks of monitors surrounding a much larger screen, showing a schematic of the prison, marked it as a security station. Unaugmented human serfs were in attendance, speaking into Vox units, desperately trying to find me. No legionaries were visible. They were hunting, attempting to establish a trap. These men and women were not warriors, but they were allied with my enemies. If I were to escape, none could live. Quietly removing the grate, I slid through the opening head first and dropped down amongst them. A woman, her face daubed in Nostromon tattoos, cried out, and I backhanded her across the chamber. Going for his sidearm, one of the male operators tried to draw down on me, but I was faster, much faster. I killed him too. In fewer than 3 seconds, all 6 human operators were dead. I made it quick, as painless as I could, failing to salve my conscience in the process. The schematic on the screen showed only a portion of the underground complex. Again, I was struck with a sense of familiarity concerning the layout and wondered how massive this prison actually was. The other monitors showed picked-corded images of the search teams linked up to retinal lenses. Data inloaded from the legionaries' battle helms ran across the screens. Heart monitors on every Night Lord thrummed agitatedly below the feed from each helm quarter. Graphic equalizers, slaved to their voice patterns, rose and fell as they breathed and hissed orders. I ignored the picked feeds, focusing on the half-map instead and committing it to memory. 2 doors led out of the security chamber. I took the one that, according to the schemata, led to an upper level. I had no idea how far down beneath the Istvan surface I was, or what would be greeting me when I got there, but there was no other course for me to take. Another corridor faced me, at the end of which was a cross-junction. Halfway down, I paused and shook my head to clear it. "Where am I?" I breathed, not recognizing this junction from the schematic. I had an eidetic memory. This should not be happening. I considered going back, but the risk was too great. By entering the ducts above, I'd gained only a few seconds against my pursuers. I had to move on, and fast. Reaching the junction, I paused again. Two more corridors stretched away from me, the destination of each concealed in darkness. A faint breeze, detected by the tiny hairs on my bare skin, flowed from the right. I was about to take that branch when I saw a shadow seemingly emerge out of the darkness. Gaunt, grinning, I recognized the cadaverous features of my brother. Farris. Placing a finger mockingly to his lips, he beckoned me to follow him into the shadows. I knew I could not trust my own mind. By manifesting this apparition here and in my cell, it had already betrayed me. Weak, he mouthed as I paused before the threshold to the right-hand branch. So weak. I took the left branch, trusting my instincts over my mind, and as I turned, I saw another figure. Incorporeal, a wraith in form and features. It wore gossamer-thin robes that appeared to float as if they were suspended in water. Its eyes were almond-shaped, and the runes crafted about its person were eldritch and alien. The Eldar flickered once, as if captured on a bad picked cording, and disappeared. My brother or my enemy? It was not much of a choice. I felt the jaws of the rusty trap closing around me again, its teeth pinching my flesh. I raced down the left branch, finding its terminus was a bulkhead. It was the first of its kind I'd seen since my escape, more robust and inviolable than the doors I'd passed through so far. Meters thick, triple bolted. I wasn't able to just rip it from its hinges. Pressing my hand against the metal, acutely aware of the shouts of my pursuers getting closer, I felt coldness. Then the light glaring from the bulkhead's inbuilt access panel went from red to green. Klaxons sounded as the amber strobes above the door kicked in. I noticed the black and yellow chevrons delineating it. Backing away, too late, far too late. Realizing now where I was and why this place was so familiar to me, I watched as a jagged crack formed diagonally in the bulkhead and its two halves slid apart to reveal a second emergency door. The coldness intensified. Tendrils of it touched my skin, freezing me. Knowing it was pointless to run, I waited as the second door split just like the first. Invisible force shields collapsed, and I was wrenched up off my feet as the pressure inside the corridor began venting outwards, taking me with it. I was not on Istvan. I had never been on Istvan. It was a ship. Kurz's ship. The emergency door opened, and I had a few seconds to behold the void of space before I was wrenched out.